ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Hi guys, I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Well, Matt, Hector Moreno's available. Would we be interested in him?
Good player. we'd have to go through and see all the different factors that would come into that one, but he's a great player.
Enrique, you are up with General Manager Matt Jordan.
So, Matt, it's been a very interesting time with you as GM. The Dynamo, you know, finally tumbled to last place in our conference. And it's been a sure trend by now. You know, the events of this year, you know, in particular COVID, I believe are no excuse, considering the achievements of other teams and, you know, under very similar circumstances. What is this organization lacking? Is it confidence? Funding, is it a clear vision? What can you pinpoint in the Dynamo that is fundamentally lacking? Thank you.
Hey, Enrique, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, first, look, you're exactly right. You know, a lot of teams, every team has dealt with the same challenges of what this year has meant, you know, with the pandemic. And, you know, as disappointing as the way the season ended for all of us was, you know, I mean, I still, you know, look, you know, and I think that, you know, you look at the season, you know, I mean, look, we were in top five, top six in the league in chances created. I think the challenge was, you know, we were in the bottom, you know, the bottom five to six of converting those chances. So, you know, we just really had an off year of putting the ball in the net. You know, we had close to 10 ties. You know, unfortunately, we just weren't able to turn a couple of those ties into wins. So, you know, no excuse, but that was some of the challenges that, you know, we faced this year. Enrique, with regards to, you know, the second half of your question, look, I'm very confident in the direction our club's moving in. You know, I think that we've got a very strong, you know, senior executive staff team. You know, I think that our team president, John Walker, is doing a great job and, you know, and again, putting a lot of processes in place that are going to be, beneficial long-term. I think on the technical side, you know, we've got a lot of good people that have the right intentions, and have the best intentions of the club. And so, you know, again, I think that we are moving in a good direction. We're not perfect. You know, we want to continue to improve. And, you know, that's really, you know, I guess what I would say, you know, with regards to your question. And we are committed to steadily and incrementally improving. And we want to be a club that the city, continues to support and get behind and rally behind. And so, you know, thank you for the call, Enrique.
Jose, you're up.
With the departure of Mauro Manotta, any plans of bringing in you number 9? Thank you.
Glenn, sorry. I couldn't hear Jose very well. Could you say that?
Is there another number 9 going to be brought in? I think you already answered that question. Let's go to Samuel. Samuel.
Hi. First of all, Matt, it's really not a question. It's more of a... I just want to tell you that I don't think you have done a bad job, like most of the people say. I think you have been a great GM that has taken us already to some playoffs, and I feel that you already took us once there, and I feel like you can take us again there by bringing players that already know what the Dynamo means. Who truly know what the colors are for the Dynamo, and then know the city, and then know that what to expect from the people or what the people expect from the players. And I feel like bringing some of the players who took us already to one of the playoffs could be very, very important for this next season. For example, Alex Lima. I have been telling everybody that I have never seen a midfielder like Alex Lima in years in the Houston Dynamo. And even though he's 31 years old now.
Samuel, you got 15. Samuel, you got 15 seconds to wrap it up. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we have to get to a hard commercial break. Okay. So just close it off.
I just wanted to know if Alex Lima would be an option for the Houston Dynamo for the next season.
Well, Samuel, thank you for your words of encouragement. I appreciate that. You know, Alex Lima, look, it's one of I think the better trades we've made you know, during my time here. I think we traded him for JJ Johnson back in the day, and Alex was a really good player here. You know, we monitor, you know, former players all the time. You know, Alex is playing in India right now.
Matt, we got 20 seconds. Matt, we got 20 seconds. I hate to cut you off.
You know, Alex is someone, you know, we track, but I appreciate the call, Samuel.
Matt, thank you very much for coming on and taking the phone calls. I think it's a successful night, you connecting with the fans. I appreciate you coming on, and we're going to get to this break. I'm sorry to cut you off, but when the boss tells me we got to get the break, we got to get the break. Thank you.
Yeah, I know how that goes. Thank you for your time, Glenn, and I appreciate the calls from the fans tonight.
Thank you, Matt. Okay, we'll take a quick break here. We got a lot more to come here. Tab Ramos is coming up next, and then it's Mauro Manotas after that to close out the night. We'll take a break. We'll come back, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
I'm Vlad Kendanovsky, the coach of U.S. Women National Team, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. You know, the front office for the Dynamo, the technical side, could be enhanced, I think, with more local connection and local hires who have a deeper understanding of Houston soccer. We definitely need more Houstonians with soccer background, I think, involved in the club. That's just my personal opinion. We can't talk about being Houston without more of those types of Houston hires. We've got a ton of ex-MLS players here that grew up here, played their youth soccer on these fields. Bear Creek Park, Meyer Park, Burroughs. Alex Woods, who's heading up Soccer Tots, is working with young kids, just opened a facility near the stadium. Josh Gardner, who was in the Sporting Kansas City Academy, he's here. Eric Quill, I mean, we should have retained him. How does he go and work for FC Dallas? He's a Houstonian. There's a lot of examples like this out there that we are not exploring, and I think we do need to explore because they're assets, and they need to be involved. They should be involved. They're former pros, and they have the deep, deep, deep Houston connection that needs to blend in with others. I do like seeing the fact that Ricardo Clark has been retained and is now working with the youth as a former player. And you have to pick your best former players off to be a part of the setup. But there's no difference in promoting an Alex Woods or a Josh Gardner or an Eric Will as locals, just like we do Memo Rodriguez day after day. These are locals that we should be proud of. So I hope there's a thought process that'll lead us to a little bit more of that balance. All right, he has been great all year long. He has been a great hire. He has been very, very transparent. He is the Houston Dynamo head coach. He is Tab Ramos. He joins us now.
Well, Tab, pretty historic day today. Weston McKennie scoring on a field with Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi at the Camp Nou. And little known fact about you, tell us about when you were with Real Betis and you got a 1-0 win over Barcelona in that stadium.
Yeah, we actually played a quarterfinal cup game at the Camp Nou and knocked Barcelona's dream team out of the cup that year. We went to the semifinals.
Tell me a little bit more about that day and what you remember about it, because that's pretty rarefied air. There are not many American players who can say that they've won at Barcelona.
Well, I know that I came off the bench in that game, and also that we cross midfield maybe three times and one of the times we scored. So it was not a back and forth 1-0 game. It was definitely a all Barcelona, you know, 80% of possession for them and And the one chance we had to score, we scored. So that was good because we had played at our stadium before and tied 0-0. So this was the return game because it was home and away for the cup in Spain. So we tied 0-0 at home. Then we had to go to Barcelona and win, and we won. So we went to the semis. Yeah.
See, this is what I love about you. You're very honest. You could have clearly said this was an unbelievable up and down game. There was no B in sports sense. So probably nobody here has been able to watch it. Yet you are very honest. Hey, yeah. What an experience that must have been. For you, you know, big weekend. You as such a big part of U.S. soccer, not only as a player, but as the under-20 coach for a decade. To see Weston McKennie, to see Christian Pulisic, and to see Gio Reyna scoring goals for clubs of this stature, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think for the first time, U.S. soccer is in a different place. You know, in the past, we always try to scrape out being the underdog and trying to fight with the best teams. And, you know, we've had players go overseas and play for Premier League teams and do well overseas. But now our players are world class. You know, our players are now in a category where they've never been before. And yeah, I think it's a completely, you know, it's really apples and oranges comparing now to the way things used to be.
Dynamo head coach Tom Ramos joining us. Give us a little bit of a synopsis of kind of the things you're thinking about here. I know there's an expansion draft coming up. You're working on the roster. You're solidifying contracts. You may be renegotiating some. Just give us a little bit of an idea of, you know, the amount of different things that are going on as a head coach of the team right now.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot going on. You know, we had last week we had to get through to finalizing what options we're gonna move forward with on the roster for those players that had options going into 2021. We had to make those decisions and also decide if we, you know, if we don't renew some of those options, if we still have a possibility of renegotiating some of those contracts. So that's part of it. Then we go into, obviously, the expansion draft, for which we have to protect players. We get to protect 12. But, you know, there's a possibility that you, in the expansion draft, you end up losing a player that you actually want to keep. So that's always the danger. But that's always been part of the expansion of the league. So that's something you kind of have to live with. So we have to participate in that. We have to prepare for that. And then obviously because of that, you know, we're working on a few trades with other teams. We're working on a few acquisitions from other teams. And none of that can happen before the expansion draft, because really if we did that, then it would be one more player to protect when they come. And so that, you know, so it's almost better to do it after. So there's a number of things going on in terms of making the roster better going into next year. And then also, you know, it's almost like a domino effect with the way things work. So Mauro, as you know, has been transferred now to Tijuana. But this is something that has been going on now for a period of time. You know, the initial idea was for Mauro to get transferred, if not beginning of the season, at the middle of the season. And then because of the pandemic, that was put on hold. And now we find ourselves doing it at the end of the year. So same sort of situation with Albert, to be honest. And so now I feel like, not only are we preparing for all these things in terms of getting the team ready for next year and having a different roster next year, but also I think it's truly the beginning of a new cycle. You know, Mauro has done a lot of great things for this club. Will remain, I'm sure, in the fans' view as one of the best players ever to have been here. Same goes for Albert. You can say a lot about the contribution of Kyoto, who left the year before. So, and I think this is now, you know, now this is the beginning of all that change. And I'm personally looking forward with that, to that. A lot is going on every day right now.
So with this transfer fee for Mauro Manotas, are you going to be able to reinvest that in specifically another striker? How does that work?
I mean, every indication we have from ownership is that we can reinvest. I think now it's time to be careful and build a little bit the foundation of the club first, so that we make sure that at the moment we're ready to invest, that we're investing in the right player and the one area that we need the most. At the time being, we're not desperate with that. We're more focused on sort of rebuilding the foundation of who we want to be here long term.
So you have mentioned pretty candidly that you're looking to increase, the quality of each line of the team. Any more you can expand on along those lines?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, last year, if there was one place we lacked, certainly was up front. You know, we created a lot of chances last year, enough chances to have been a playoff team for sure. And yet we couldn't score. So that's an area that we have to address. Now without Mauro here, that's obviously, it gives us even less competition up front. So it's certainly an area that we're looking to address with a couple of players. We're also looking into the center of midfield. One of the things about the center of midfield last year, I felt that we needed to get better at holding the ball in those areas and handling balls in traffic. And those players are not easy to find. And so we're looking into that area. And then in the back, obviously, it's, you know, it's a little bit different playing, you know, the way the Houston Dynamo was built in the past, which was a sort of sit with most of the team and counter with three. And then Tomas was the help to those three. So you had Albert and you had Mauro and you had Kyoto. And now you had sometimes, you know, if Martinez could get there, he would get there. Whereas now we're becoming a team where we all attack and we all defend. And because of that, defenders need to do a different type of running. They need to do better. They need to do better in 1v1 matchups. And so we're looking to add into on that line as well.
So is it a surprise to you that the two teams that get to the MLS Cup final are very good possession teams that really desire the ball in Seattle and Columbus?
No, it actually makes me happy that it's teams that want to play. You know, when you watch good teams play, and to be fair, had Minnesota arrived at the final, I would have been okay with that too. Minnesota has proven that, you know, although they couldn't beat us in three games this year, that's maybe one, you know, one thing we can look at. I think is a team that's definitely built to play good soccer, and I like that. So, yeah, there's a good representation in the MLS final, and I'm looking forward to watching it, actually.
He's Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos joining us here. Back to your point about, a player in the middle of midfield that can get out of tight situations technically and all that. I mean, obviously, we saw that example with Seattle with Ladero and Reynoso, who I think debuted against us. Maybe at BBVA Stadium. Yeah. In his your
first,
system.
His first game was a loss here.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember that.
that's true. We can't forget that. But I do remember that day when he came on. So just in talking about your system and the importance of holding the ball and making sure you have players, you know, it was amazing to watch him last night just get out of some of these tight areas, right, and get your team out of trouble. And then something that looks troubling all of a sudden looks even more positive in a very differing way going forward.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that type of player, you know, Reynoso, you look at Ladero, you know, you look at Zelarayan for Columbus. I mean, these are guys that just, they're connectors, you know, and they're, you know, at the end of the day, those are big investments. And look, I mean, they've done a great job. I think it surprised me a little bit how quickly Reynoso has been able to adapt to the league and make a difference so fast. But yeah, these are great signings, exciting players to watch, and players really important for their teams.
So are you looking to find a central midfield player that maybe is the standard bearer there in a way? And I mean that respectfully?
Not necessarily. So the way I usually build, I like to build my teams. I don't normally build teams with two sixes and a 10 or a six and eight and a 10. I normally like to build teams with a six and two eights, two guys that go box to box. So I'm not necessarily looking for that type of profile. I know that it's a nice profile to have, but people like to play the game differently. It's not something that necessarily we're looking for. So we're looking a little bit different than that.
Talking to Tab Ramos, Dynamo head coach. All right, your system's aggressive. It's optimistic. It's going forward. It's not being reactive. All the things we love as soccer fans, I think. You have mentioned, though, that this team has to get more athletic. Is that a bang on the table has to happen in the offseason, get more athletic?
It does. It does. We need a little bit more speed, you know, but that's, it's difficult to find with players that have good technique. You know, what's important is to find the players that have speed, but have good technique as well. And, you know, those are normally on the expensive side. So we're trying to do the best we can. With the circumstances we're under and with the MLS mechanisms that are available to us to try to change the team, but definitely being more dynamic and being more aggressive is something that I'm looking for, and something that'll help us to get results.
Tab, is it hard to figure out all these mechanisms? I mean, you know, I've been involved in the league since the beginning and sometimes I can't figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, fortunately for me, and I know that you're speaking with Matt as well, but I'm sure Matt will let you know that's a good question for him. But yeah, sometimes I have to call Matt and say, how does this work again? Because I'm not really sure what you can and what you can do, you know? And that's something that sometimes I think about, because I basically have been next to this league for the last 25 years. And for me not to know things, I feel like, wow, how can I not know something? So I can imagine for foreign coaches who come into this country and try to figure out what MLS is like, how difficult it must be.
22, I guess, on the roster right now. You know, is there a ballpark figure of how many changes you think you'll make with the rest of the roster? And maybe you can dig in a little bit to options that may be renegotiated and brought back. I mean, are there some players that options weren't picked up that you do want back?
Yeah, there is for sure. I mean, you know, there are players like Miner and Boniek that we're speaking to now. Two players that I think are really important to the club. And, you know, sometimes we can sit around and say, well, you know, Miner is, you know, 38 years old. We said we want to get younger. How can we keep Miner? Well, I think there are players where the age doesn't matter. I think, you know, yeah, of course we want to get younger, and it'd be easy for us to drop Miner and bring in an 18-year-old, and that automatically drops our average, right? But this is not about averages. This is about players, and it's about people. And I think Miner carries a lot of the values that we want at this club. He's a true professional and someone who, by the way, had a great season last year. And so someone that we value, and that hopefully, you know, someone that wants to come back as well.
Leadership, are you looking for additional leadership, a focal point leader, or is that not really high on the agenda?
It's very high on the agenda. I think Zarek was really the first piece to that. When we brought Zarek last year, you know, you could see that besides being a good soccer player, Zarek is one that represents the team really well. Zarek is one that pushes the team well. He's one that organizes on the field. He's the one that carries the values of the club off the field. These are all the things that are really important and all the things that are looking for in the new players.
You have made it very clear through your actions and through your rhetoric that you want this to be inclusive. And you've led the way being very transparent. Is this essential for the future and change in the club?
It has to be. At the end of the day, I don't make all the decisions, but I think it has to be. To be a successful club, we have to be the people's club. We have to be Houston's people's club, and we have to be accountable for that. You know, we have to show our face. We have to say how things are going. When they're going well, we're going to be happy. When they're not going well, we're not, but we still have to stick together. And I think when you build a roster of players who can understand that, that we are Houston's team and that they belong to Houston, then I think it makes it easy. And I think, you know, that's why I said Zarek was the first piece of that puzzle. And I think we're looking at those type of qualities in the people that we bring in.
I look at the league and I look at the teams that got eliminated from the playoffs, the LAFCs, the Galaxies, and the Portland Timbers, who, you know, all have tremendous squads and teams and history. And I'm just looking, man, those guys are going to want to come back, retool, and big time. Any thoughts on just the overall competitiveness and how it continues to grow in this league? Because it does seem pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible grind, really, when you think about it, because, you know, you're watching Minnesota play Seattle in the Western. Let's just take the Western Conference, because that's where we are, obviously. And then you look at LAFC and you look at Portland and you look at LA Galaxy, all teams who invest a lot of money, who next year they all want to be in the final. So if you take those two that already were in the final this year, you take those three who were not, and you add to that, you know, Sporting Kansas City, who made, you know, probably $20 million investment this year with the players that they signed, and you add to that FC Dallas, who's always a good team. Well, you know, that's just the beginning. And then it's likely that Nashville will come back to our side next year. And if that happens, obviously Nashville already did well. So, yeah, it's a grind. You know, when you think about the playoffs, all you can think about is, hey, you know what, let's build the best team we can build, and then we'll take it one game at a time and see in the end where we fall.
Yeah, that's not to mention 2.5 hours up the road, a couple of guys you know in Austin FC coming in Texas. That's going to make things interesting, don't you think?
Well, I think rivalries are always great, you know, and they make the league more exciting. Hopefully people will be able to be back in the stadiums next year, because how great will it be when, you know, when we're in Austin and there's a whole section of orange that is cheering our goals.
Last one before I let you go, and I'm taking you back to Mauro Manotas, the sale, the striker position. Is that a position you look within the country and outside the country with?
Both. I mean, you know, it's likely that that initially we look in the country and see if we can do something within the league that can help us on an established player that can come in, and we know that he's already adapted to the league. And then of course, yeah, we're always looking overseas. The challenge overseas is that, you know, it's unless you make an investment, which it's obviously a hands down, everybody can see that this is the best player, and that, you know, obviously costs a lot. You have to do your homework really well. And the environment in the world right now is not one that really makes it easy to do your homework, because we can't travel. We can't go meet with players. We can't go watch them live. There's a lot that you can't do. And I would hate to miss on someone because we didn't do our homework.
Tab, last night, a couple of University of Maryland guys playing at the back for Minnesota United, and goal, Dane St. Clair, Chase Gaspar. These were guys I saw in college cups. Is it essential to get some value out of some good college players in the future?
For sure. I think, you know, Sam Junkwa is good value for us right now. You know, he already started to get a lot of playing time. I think he has a good future with the club. Probably a starting, you know, either a starting left back, or it could potentially also be a left-sided center back. He's a good player physically. He has all the qualities that we would want here in a player that we would be seeking from another club. So we like that. And, yeah, I think this year in particular, this year's draft, having the third pick, we are looking forward to picking a player that's actually going to be a first-team player that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's the time to get a guy that can maybe step in right away, right?
For sure, for sure. We're looking at that pick as a almost like a free transfer. Yep.
Tab, thank you so much for your time. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and appreciate all the great commentary here.
All right. As always, thank you for having me on, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right. See you, Tab. Thank you.
Bye.
Great stuff there from Tab Ramos, and just love how really transparent he has been talking about the Houston Dynamo, his roster, and some of his ideas. A great way, as always, to connect with the fans and give them ownership in their team. Love the fact that he uses the word inclusive. All right, we're going to take a break here. Quick hit here for Hugh O'Connor. 7620 Katy Freeway in the Marquee Entertainment Center. 18 TVs, big screens. Houston Liverpool Supporters Club. They do a great steak night out there as well. A lot going on out there at Hugh O'Connor's. Get over there and check it out. Also, quick word here for our friends at NB Elite Realty, including Nimo Bandovich, the former leading scorer for the Houston Hotshots. He wants to invite you to start your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. After finishing his career, Nebo went on to build a real estate investing empire. He's got a multi-million dollar portfolio, and he wants to teach you how to do the same. Follow Nebo at Nebo Bandovic, NeboBandovic, at Nebo Bandovic, NeboBandovic on Instagram. You'll get daily tips, secrets, more information on how to be mentored by the master himself through the VIP program. Nebo Bandovic on Instagram at NeboBandovic. More to come.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, people. This is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're going to finish it up tonight in a big, big way. Before we do, let's just remind you that the presenting sponsor of this show is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. And we thank John and his firm for getting soccer on the air. And tonight for bringing us Dynamo striker Mauro Manotas. As everybody knows, Mauro Manotas now will go to Tijuana in Liga MX. We're joined by not only Mauro, but also Edgar Valiz, who will do the translation. Mauro, thank you for coming on the show.
Bueno, gracias a ti, Glenn, nuevamente. Bueno, estoy muy, muy emocionado. Muchas situaciones encontradas, ¿no? Feliz, triste, contento. Bueno, en fin, una cantidad de cosas que que bueno, que me tiene muy tranquilo y muy motivado para esta nueva oportunidad. Voy con toda la disposición del mundo a triunfar y a dejar el nombre del, del Houston Dynamo en alto también.
Glenn, thank you for having me on. There's been a lot of emotions here over the last few days, just going through this process. I have a lot of joy, a lot of pride. There's a little bit of sadness there too of having to leave. There's been just a full roller coaster given everything that's kind of taken place this year, my whole time here with the club. And I'm looking forward to this new opportunity to succeeding and showing everybody just how much I developed here with the club as I move forward.
Now with Tijuana, Mauro Manotas joining us here on ESPN 97.5. And I would ask this, how did Mauro find out and initially what was his thoughts?
Bueno, el Club Tijuana siempre fue un equipo que siempre estuvo interesado en mí. Hace 2-3 años siempre venían preguntando por mí. Mi empresario siempre me decía a mí que el club siempre estaba interesado. Bueno, por cuestiones de entre clubes no se llegaba a un acuerdo. Y bueno, esta vez se dio. El club me hizo saber a mí la intención que tenían. Bueno. Estamos viviendo una situación bastante compleja con todo esto de la pandemia y es entendible. Y bueno, hice todo de corazón y creo que hicimos todo para que el club y yo termináramos felices.
Well, Glenn, this was a process that kind of began almost 2 or 3 years ago. Tijuana has always showed interest in me. They've always reached out and tried to inquire about obtaining me as a player. Now, for different circumstances, it just didn't work out back then or previously as the two teams negotiated. This year, it was a little different. We found ourselves in a very different situation just given that the pandemic has affected a lot of how soccer is managed and how players are brought in and brought out. So this year, we were able to get a deal done and you know, definitely an opportunity that I'm looking forward to just given that I know that they want me. They've expressed their interest for a long time now, so I'm grateful for that as well.
Mauro, how much do you know about the tactics of Tijuana and how you might fit into that?
Bueno, la gente seguramente pide goles, ¿no? Pide goles, asistencia, buenos partidos. Bueno, yo como dije, cuando llegué aquí al club, a Houston Dynamo, no prometo goles, no prometo asistencias. Lo que prometo sí es correr, meter y sudar la camiseta y tenerle pasión y amor y respeto a la camiseta, y eso fue lo que hice durante estos 6 años acá. Siempre respeté los colores, el escudo, nunca tuve ningún problema en ninguna índole, no solo dentro sino tampoco fuera de la cancha. Siempre fui un gran profesional y seguramente eso es lo que la gente se lleva de mí, que tuve amor a la camiseta y mucho respeto, que es lo más importante.
As far as what is expected of me, just kind of given my track record, it's definitely score goals to, you know, give assists, to make a difference in the games. Tactically, that's probably still to be determined, just given that they're working out who's going to be in the roster, what the team will look like as they begin preseason. As far as what I can bring to the table, same approach as I did here with the Dynamo, that won't change. I mean, when I came in here, when I was developing as a player, I never promised that I would end with, you know, X amount of goals, X amount of assists. The only thing that I could always guarantee was my effort, how I respected the organization that I represented. And that's going to be the same when I go to Tijuana. I'm going to represent the club in the best of my ability, always put the best effort out there and do my best to help them succeed.
Mauro, what do you know about the coach Pablo Guede, the Argentine?
Bueno, he tenido la oportunidad de preguntar y de leer mucho sobre el profe. Me dice que es un gran entrenador, una gran persona. Exigente como todos. Obviamente vamos a un club y una liga totalmente diferente a la MLS. Y bueno, yo estoy muy preparado física y mentalmente. Esperemos llegar, poder conectar muy bien con el entrenador y poder hacer un gran desempeño con él.
I'm still getting to know him. It's one of those things from reading up on him, trying to get a better understanding, and just from what I've been told, he's a great person. He demands a lot out of his players, and that's something I'm very familiar with. I mean, that's what you want in this environment. Now, as far as the team itself and how he's molded it, I mean, he's only been there relatively short amount of time, so I'm looking forward to joining him in this project and doing my part to help the team succeed as well.
Mauro, let's reflect a little bit on your career. You've had so many defining goals for the Houston Dynamo, second all-time leading scorer behind Brian Ching. You jumped ahead of Will Bruin, who scored last night for Seattle in the playoffs. Some of your most defining moments. I do remember the one on the road in Portland with you flexing to the crowd after you scored. That one to me was just one of the most defining moments. That image still is burnt in my mind. What were some of the bigger moments for you?
The U.S. Open Cup final, the most important moment here in Houston, because a lot of times the team not win the trophy because, I don't know, 20 years? No. 10 years? I don't know. The team no win the trophy, but this thing is... increíble, bueno, no recuerdo cómo se dice increíble en inglés, pero the coach, Wilmer Cabrera, the team, ¿cómo se llama? Senderos, teníamos un equipo muy bueno, Senderos, teníamos a Darwin Serén, Albert Ellis, Romel Kioto, Mauro Manotas, que ahora no tenemos a ninguno, ahora no queda nadie, solamente Bonnie. Y bueno, es increíble para mí ese momento, fue muy especial.
A lot of memorable moments, but definitely the one that takes the top of the list would be the Open Cup, Glenn. Just given the players that we had on that team, everyone from Senderos to, I mean, you have the only one that remains right now is Bonnie, but even then, just some of the guys that were on that team who made a big impact and helped me win a title that, you know, for about almost 12, 10 years, the team just went without a trophy. So to help the team gain that, and, you know, return to international competition, it means a lot to me.
Mauro, talk about some of the guys. You were a young man here. Everyone, when they're young, needs help from older, more experienced players, and you certainly have had a number of players that have helped you. Maybe mention a few of those.
Sí, fueron mucho. Quiero agradecer enormemente a cuando llegué, Brad Davis, capitán de nuestro equipo y leyenda cuando llegué. Fue el primer jugador que me recibió cuando vine. DaMarcus Beasley, importante para mí. Bonnie, que tengo la oportunidad de conocerlo desde hace mucho tiempo. Agradecido con él y su familia. Philip Senderos, peleamos todos los días. en el camerino. Quiero agradecerle a Juan David Cabezas, también una persona muy especial para mí. Y bueno, quiero hacerle mención también a los entrenadores que también me ayudaron cuando yo llegué. Owen Coyle, el profe Wilmer Cabrera, increíble. Y bueno, los otros se me olvidó el nombre. Y el profe Tar Ramos, ahora último, que a pesar de que tuvimos 6 meses, 1 año, me ayudó muchísimo personalmente.
Lenders along
this. Se me estaba olvidando uno grande y muy especial para mí. El gran Vicente Sánchez.
Glenn, there's a pretty big long list there, but I mean, if I had to dwindle that down, it would be Brad Davis, one of the first players to welcome me. He was a captain of the team at the time, opened the doors for me and make sure that I was received very well by the locker room and the rest of the guys. Then you've got players like DaMarcus Beasley, who was very important to me. Then you have players like Boniek, who I'm very grateful for him, for his family, for everything they did for me as far as just transitioning, being able to adapt to the city itself. Then you've got players like Philip Senderos, who always had good banter in the locker room. Definitely missed that when he left. And, I mean, you've got other guys as well, like Juan David Cabezas, who was a very special individual when he was here. We had a lot of great memories together. The coaching staff as well, everyone from Owen Coyle, who believed in me as a young kid, to Wilmer, who, you know, gave me a great opportunity, helped me transition to this next level. And then, of course, Tab Ramos, who, while it was a short time, only 6 months or roughly a year, helped me grow quite a bit on and off the field. And, of course, I can't forget about Vicente Sanchez, definitely one of the legends that has passed through the locker room here at the Houston Dynamo.
Talking to Mauro Manotas, Dynamo striker transfer is complete. He will head to Tijuana in Mexico. What are some of the things, Mauro, that you will like about playing in Mexico from the playing style that we see each and every week there?
Sí. No, es una liga bastante importante, una liga muy, muy competitiva, igual que la MLS. Bueno, estamos hablando de, de una liga bastante importante en lo que es acá América, y bueno, esperemos de estar a la altura. Yo sé que con la bendición de Dios nos va a ir muy bien poder competir con grandes jugadores a nivel mundial. Eso me motiva mucho más.
I'm very motivated, Glenn, just in the sense that you know what you're getting into when you compete in a league like Liga MX. It's a league that's very demanding, very technical. I definitely feel like I'm up to par with competing and being the best player out there as far as just contributing to the team and being able to help get results. At the end of the day, that's how you're measured. So looking forward to that challenge in one of the leagues that's one of the most important here in North America.
How did it feel when he broke Will Bruin's record and you know, jumped above him behind Brian Ching in the all-time leading scorer list for the Dynamo?
Bueno, estoy bastante feliz, muy contento. Es una buena marca para mí. La verdad que, bueno, quería llegar al primero en esta primera etapa, pero bueno, ya lo postergamos para cuando regrese, ¿no? En un par de años nuevamente, si Dios lo permite. Estoy muy feliz, estoy muy contento. Tuve la oportunidad de conocer a Brian Ching y es una gran persona, siempre tuvo el deseo de que yo tuviera ese puesto número uno. Y con Will Bruin, que tuve la oportunidad de compartir, es un gran delantero, una gran persona, una persona muy especial. Es un gran delantero, bueno, lo demostró ayer, entró y a los dos minutos cambió el partido de la final de conferencia. Y me alegra mucho que le esté yendo bien en Seattle y bueno, esperemos de que cuando vuelva yo nuevamente al club pueda romper el récord.
Well, overall, it means a lot to me just to keep etching my name into the club record book. I definitely was gunning for the top overall goal scorer in club history. It wasn't able to be here during my first run with the club, but hopefully a few years down the line, if I hopefully get the chance to come back, I can tackle that as well. I was able to catch up with Brian, meet with him, and he's a very just humble, general person who wanted this for me. He wanted me to support him. That speaks a lot to his character. Also with Will Bruin, I mean, I got to share a locker room with him for a little bit, and he's a quality player. So to be able to surpass that means a lot to me, just given, look at what he did yesterday. He entered the game and changed the complexion of that. That tells you the kind of caliber of guy that we had here. So I definitely wish him the best and looking forward to hopefully returning here down the line and getting that top spot for myself.
Well, Mauro, I think you're a man of great character as well, and it's been a real privilege for me to cover you as a commentator all these years in Houston and watch you grow into such a tremendous soccer player. You were always a great person. I knew that when I met your parents. But anything you want to say to the listeners tonight before you head off to Tijuana?
Bueno, muchas gracias. Gracias a todos. Gracias a la afición, gracias en especial al batallón. Fui una persona muy querida de la afición. Me llevo todos los lindos momentos en mi corazón. Siempre los llevaré presente. Houston es mi casa y aquí estaré cuando pueda. Y a ti, Glenn, muchas gracias. Gracias por el apoyo, gracias por siempre los buenos comentarios. Mi familia está muy agradecida contigo, porque siempre escuchaban el partido y me decían que el comentarista nada más decía mi nombre, que no sabían lo que decían, pero que se escuchaba que decían cosas buenas, así que me alegra mucho, estoy muy agradecido con todos y bueno, siempre llevo a Houston en mi corazón.
Glenn, well, thank you to the fans. I mean, there's just so many memories here that I'm going to take with me, and you know, through all these years, Houston has become home. So I'll definitely be here when I can, and it's one of those situations where it's a part of the sport. It's a part of what we're doing for a living. So you know, here's hoping that everything goes well for everyone moving forward. For you specifically, very grateful for you. My family would always tune into the games and hear your commentary. Sometimes they wouldn't know what you were saying just due to the language barrier, but they always could tell you were saying something positive. So very grateful for you, for everything you've done for the game here in town and for helping tell the story of the Dynamo game by game.
Mauro, thank you and the best of luck at Tijuana. We'll be watching, that's for sure.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Mauro Manotas. We wind it up here tonight. We are looking forward to seeing him scoring goals in Liga MX. It's going to be a tough one, though, with Mauro leaving. No question about it. We have seen him just do some amazing things on the field for the Houston Dynamo. That does it tonight for Aaron Raybould in studio. For Victor Ariza. I'm Glenn Davis. Until next week, remember, Soccer Matters is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. You can get the podcast at Spotify, podcastarena.com, or on iTunes. On behalf of the firm, good night, everyone.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.